Jude 1:20. Everybody there? But you, beloved, build yourselves by the way, I'm reading the Amplified tonight, okay? In fact, I'm going to interchange a lot of translations. Ronnie, it's okay if you don't. I think everybody will get the drift here, and they're very familiar scriptures. But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress, rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. Wow. Church, there is faith, there is holy faith, and there is most holy faith. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm going to explain to you this evening. First of all, just run through this and real quick. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. Hebrews 10:38, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Habakkuk 2:4. The word of God says, let a thing be established by two or three witnesses. We have four right here. The just, meaning us, that we actually live by faith. We live by our trust in God, okay? So we can safely determine that the just shall live by faith. So Hebrews teaches us, we know Hebrews 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report, so on, so on. We understand that faith is that very spiritual substance that will bring hope into reality. We used to teach the kids, faith is like hope is like a picture. Faith is like a rope. You grab hold of the promises that are written in the Word of God and you pull them in with your faith. So we're always going to be using this faith. Now, then we know this. I'm just building a little introduction here and then we'll tell you in just a few minutes how to do this. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? So we know that your faith is going to rise up. It's going to arise. It's going to be fed by the word. Your faith is like energy in your body. You have to eat some word to get some faith. And so anytime, you can pick up your word anytime. You can read the promises and faith can rise anytime. John 6:63 says, it is the spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are truth. So you can also be led by the spirit of God and a word will light up to you in what we call a rhema. You'll be reading it and you'll go, oh, wow, I see that. I see what that's saying. It just becomes a revelation to you. The Spirit of God is lighting up the word on the paper, making it alive and bringing it into your spirit. Amen? Amen. We know this stuff. Now, anointed teaching and preaching will also cause faith to rise. And that's why you want to go to a good word church. Now, all of these things will bring God's will to pass in your life. You receive a word from God by study, by revelation. You believe that word. You speak that word. You act on that word, and it comes to pass. Been practicing this for 35 years, I guess. Danny's age? Almost. She's not quite that old, are you? Couple months. Whew, she's getting up there. And, yeah, I've been studying this. When I learned it, started using it, and it works. True. So this is what God, how God lives with his people. Now, all of this that we just said with the word passes through our intellect, does it? Yeah. You have to think it. Yeah. And that's good. They are good, and that's good. But I want to tell you something. There's a higher place. There's a higher place. Ephesians 3:20, you all know it. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or what? Think. according to the power that's working in us, the Holy Spirit power working in us. So there's actually a place where you may not totally get the whole picture, but you can have faith that it's true. Okay? Now, I think we understand that easily here. Him that is able. So this is him doing it. Based on him, God is able. He is able to exceed. He is able to exceed or pass beyond, proceed beyond given or supposed limit. Come on. Wakey, wakey. Measure, quantity. It's above that. It wouldn't be great. It wouldn't be very great. It'd be very, 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 very great. Okay? It's above what, you know, well, this is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, I tell you, when I just received extraordinary, unusual, supernatural, remember I was telling y'all about how the Lord started talking to me about that? Mm-hmm. Well, this is unusual that Riley and Kim would even have time to come see us. Oh, yeah. They not only just had time, they made time. Yeah. So that right there was unusual. And then there was an extraordinary financial church success the next day. And then today, we're waiting right now for the supernatural. And by the way, it's going to start raining tomorrow. Okay, now, so God can do more than your limit. Remember, we're talking about that he can exceed your chokehold. He can exceed that. Okay. Now, there are supposed limits that you set up. And you know when you choke. You know when you say, yeah, I believe I could do this. And I believe I could do this. And I believe I could do this. And then the Lord says, well, why don't you do this? And you go, oh. You probably experienced, yes, I can give that. Well, I can give that. Oh, that's wonderful. And then God says, why don't you give this? And you go, right? We've all been there. And then you break these barriers in life. There's things that you didn't know that you used to think you couldn't do that you can do now. Church, I failed speech, okay? And now I've been preaching for 30 years. So, ain't quite saying I got all the English down right, but I'm working on it. But God can bring you on these places. So to do this, you sometimes have to get past comprehension. Now, I'll say something about that because I know if you're a scriptorian, you know what it says right above that scripture. So hold on just a minute. You have to get your faith to a level with God that we would never be able to reach if we just depend on our comprehension. Now, knowledge is good, is it?
Yeah.
Comprehension is better. It's working knowledge. I can fly. Where's the last place we flew? We went to Denver. We went to Washington, D.C. Denver, Tulsa, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I sat in A1. It was a miracle. But I didn't know how to fly the plane, but I knew I was flying. I had knowledge of going and flying. But the pilot has working knowledge. Okay? So when you're growing up in the spirit, you're flying, but after a while, you have working knowledge of how it works. You know right now that if you've been in this church for 6 months, you have working knowledge of faith.
Yeah.
You know how to do it. Okay. So, both of these things are good. The love of God works beyond knowledge, and the apostle Paul's prayer was that you comprehend his love. So we're looking at wanting to hit all these levels But then you run into the scripture that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all these things. So we're hitting another level that appears to be a little stealth to the average Christian or to the average person, we'll say. A lot of Christians understand this. But so then what we see is that Mark 4, the source of the word, everybody knows Mark 4, okay? We found out there that Jesus said, he told them the story. Remember, the sower goes out and sows seed, right? And then they ask him about all the rocky ground, thorny ground, all that stuff. And he goes back and he says to the disciples now, he says to the disciples, they understand, I speak to them in parables. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Okay, come on. So they got to have something on a higher level. Parables are protectors. Because once you have a truth, you're responsible for the truth.
Right.
Right now the Jewish people have a truth hidden from them. Mm-hmm. Mashiach. Mm-hmm. But it's on purpose. Because the Gentiles couldn't come in. I can't go through all that, but you understand. Y'all understand a lot of that. We'll talk about it sometime. But that's just an example. But so the disciples then got clued in on something that the people Jesus was teaching did not. They heard the wonderful story and thought, oh, this is so good. But the other people heard the sower sows the word. The word is the seed. The word is the connector. The word is the bridge. The word is what will grow up and bring a harvest.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but see, y'all are going, woo, why? Because you already have a working knowledge of that.
Yeah.
You already get that. Yeah. Now, so he wants us to know something that other folks don't know, especially the dark, the dark realm. I'll get to that in just a second. So we have something, and this is not bragging, this is privilege.
Okay.
We have something that not everybody has. You have to understand that. In fact, we have someone not everybody has. We have Holy Spirit. I don't say the Holy Spirit. He is Holy Spirit to me. Now, listen to this scripture. This is Romans 6:25. Now, all glory to God who is able to make you strong. As my good news says, the message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plans for the Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. Some plans are kept secret. If you want to know what God will do, find out what he did. Okay? So he has kept some things secret. We call them mysteries. Now, but now, as the prophets foretold and as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere so that they too might believe and obey him. So the secret was kept for us. It was kept for us, not from us.
Yeah.
Mysteries are kept for us. It's our privilege, our honor to seek out the mysteries, to seek out the deep things of God.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm still talking about Jude 20 there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, so they're kept for us. So we need to know practically, in a practical way, how to get hold of a promise, how to get hold of an inheritance from the mysteries.
Right. Yeah.
So, if you're going to get, walk with me and you'll catch it real quick. If you're going to get secrets, you're going to have to go to the secret place. The secrets are in the secret place. This is not really real complicated. You can get it. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High. There's a secret place. Psalm 91. He who dwells. It's a place you go to in the realm, in the spirit. You do it by believing and saying, Lord, you're my protector. I believe that. You are my secret place. I believe that. I'm under the protection of God. Okay, so you see the secret place there. Now, There are no limits in the secret place. There's no limits. You're going to, in other words, the more you get into this place, it'll become very clear to you in the next 10 minutes. The more you get into this place, the more you're passing your limits. I'm going to tell you how to do it in just a minute. But you're actually going to get in here and it's going to go beyond your thought patterns where you stop.
Right, yeah.
Oh, I could never do that. Oh, that could never happen to me. Oh, this couldn't be. That's your choke point. The Lord told Brother Copeland one time, he said, how would you like to, do you believe you could have a boat? He said, oh, sure. He said, what if you had a big old boat, a big cruiser out in the lake? Yeah, I believe that. And then he said, how about a ship? And Brother Copeland went, and the Lord told him, John Wayne has one. He's not looking to get a ship. He was trying to stretch him.
Yeah.
I mean, if God wants him to, he'll get one.
Yeah.
But he was trying to stretch him. How far can you go? What can you learn? Well, you know, I'm going to go ahead. I'm a mama whoop right now, okay? I'm already 65. I can't learn the computer. I have to call Wi-Fi to see what's going on. Yes, you can. We have witnesses in the room here who are a little over 40 who know how to get on the computer, and you can learn it. Well, I don't know how to speak to someone out on the street. You can. I don't know how to witness to someone. Yes, you can. And you don't have to do it afraid. Well, I don't know how I'm ever going to break through this financial thing. Yes, you can. Well, I don't know how I'm going to get healed. Yes, you can. Well, I don't know how our family will ever get to. Yes, you can. Have you seen the testimony? Did you see Susanna's testimony?
Yeah.
That's a yes, you can.
Yeah.
Okay, now. We have to trust and move, and then a light comes. And then we move again, and a light comes. And if you know anything about light, two lights will create a picture. I don't have time to go there, but you will. You have to have light. But we always say this, walk in the light that you have. So get some light, take a step.
Amen.
Get some more light, take another step. Get some more light, take another step. And you'll be met and find out that you're going to break that 4-minute mile barrier.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You're going to come through and look back and go, well, you know what? I am a success in this area. Right now, I'm talking about you being a success in your prayer life. So we have to go above, this is just real easy, I'm just saying this, above what we thought. Can you get above what you think right now? Will you let yourself get above what you're thinking? In the secret place, you can establish your life before it happens. Okay, you can make confessions on purpose before something happens. Oh, you mean we got to make those confessions? Yes. Now, it's time to walk in and above what you think. You've got to walk above what you think. Now, y'all are very familiar with this. Just go on over to 1 Corinthians 2, and we'll read down through some of that. We're going to start with verse 4, and we'll start walking down the last couple of lanes here. Are y'all following me okay?
Yeah.
I have to go all these places before I just throw it out there to you. Because I've got to get you into the place where you're thinking that you can get above your thinking.
Yeah. Okay.
That's funny right there, but it's true. Okay, now, 1 Corinthians 2:4. And I'm going to use a different version here, but y'all will be okay. You'll see it right away. And my message and my preaching were very plain. Rather than using clever and persuasive speeches, I relied on the power of the Holy Spirit. Real power is knowing what to do. The Holy Spirit was given for a purpose, and you can see His purpose in this chapter. Verse 5, I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Yet when I am among mature believers, milk to meat, I do speak with words of wisdom, but not the kind of wisdom that belongs to this world or to the rulers of this world who are soon forgotten. I really like that statement. Verse 7. No, the wisdom we speak of is the mystery of God. His plan was previously hidden, even though He made it for our ultimate glory before the world began. So it says there, we speak wisdom in a mystery, even hidden mystery. And I want to give you this wisdom for your glory. You speak hidden wisdom. You speak answers to mysteries. How do you speak answers to mysteries? That is the question. How can you get the answer out when you don't know something or you don't know how to pray about something and you just are looking for a way to get above this? That's what we're talking about. You're looking for a way to pray the right thing, say the right thing, get yourself in the right position, so that the wisdom can come forth that's in the mystery, okay? It's in a mystery. And then you can get the manifestation of what you need. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
I know it sounds a little complicated, but I'm believing you. You're smart. Now, so, this is 1 Corinthians 14:2. You can mark that down. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Now, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians 2:7. Verse 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Mm-hmm. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Now listen to this, which none of the princes of this world, who's that? The darkness. For if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
They didn't know the plan. If they'd known the plan, they wouldn't have, They wouldn't have crucified the glory. They wouldn't have broken into somebody's house or if they'd have known the plan. They wouldn't have, see, church, the devil always overplays himself. He always overplays himself. And it's to try to win. He tries to push time. He's trying to push God out of his time. So that he can get, I'm just going to say it, a one world order. That's not a godly order. That's what he's after. Now you can don't send me an ugly letter. You can just love me anyway and do what you want to with that. But I'm talking Bible here. Okay, now, but let's just get down to what we're really talking about here. So, Satan can't do what he doesn't know to do. They didn't know it. Can I tell you, Satan is not omnipresent. He's not omniscient. Thank you. Couldn't get to the end of that. God can see and hear everything. He chooses many times to be a pedestrian type person with you because he loves you and wants to relate to you on his level. So he's not always just hovering over you, but he is there. And he will answer, and he does. But the devil has players. He has imps. And all it takes is one little monkey on some people, and their whole life, he's just got them. One little lie. Darkness, spirits, what they do is they come and lie. They have no power over you. You have to get that understanding. If you're listening to me, the demonic world has no power over you. They lie to you and deceive you so you will use your own authority that God gave Adam. He lost it. Jesus got it back. You use your own power by your own words, which causes strange things to happen. That's why people are like, well, there's a ghost in that mansion, blah, blah, blah. How does all that happen? Well, because someone believed the lie, started confessing it, and then the devil starts rattling. Okay? You see that? Okay. So that's just real simple. There's no ghost. There's demonic forces that you empower. And Satan hasn't visited you. No, he hasn't. And he's not going to. You're just going to say no to lies. You have to be afraid of him. Now, we're going to read verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So you don't even know it all now. Here we go. You don't know, and you don't know how. Okay? But God hath revealed this to us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things. The Holy Spirit is looking, searching, and transmitting. He's transmitting to you the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? So men know men's stuff. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. God knows God's stuff. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. So the things that are in the mystery, we're searching them out, will come to the light. Mm-hmm. And they're going to come to the light by that verse four, chapter 14 that we read. You'll see it in just a second. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things to spiritual things. But the natural man, listen to me, church, the natural man will not receive the things of the Spirit of God. When you get in your flesh, you're not getting a download. For they are foolish unto him. Now you're past that. The things of the Spirit are not foolish to you. You wouldn't have made it this long in this church if they had been. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So there are things in God, they have to be spiritually discerned. And you've got the tools. You've got the tools to spiritually discern what you need to know. Well, you know, I don't know much. Well, give us 6 weeks and you'll know. Give us 6 weeks and you'll be well on your way. Mm-hmm. Because we salt and pepper everything with the same word of faith.
That's
with
right.
The same truth. With the believer's authority. With God loves you. With God is good. And you'll start growing. So now, the important thing, Lord, should I go there? Okay, I'll wait on. No? What are you telling me? Thank you, Lord, for that. Okay, God tells you to do something, but what you know in your mind then would limit you. Well, I need you to go to the Caribbean and start ministering to the people down in the Caribbean. I can't go down there. I can't get off work. You're limited. Or I need you to go over to the such and such deal and talk to them. Well, they're not going to let me in there. See, you limit yourself. But God's not limited, and He knows where you can get in and where you can't. And He knows your divine appointments, what you can do and what you can't do. And He knows the favor that you have on your life because He's given it to you. He knows all these things. Now, a lot of things that I'm saying right here, you already know. But when we get to the prayer part, what we need to see here is that in verse 14, neither can he know is our chokehold. So what do? We pray in our heavenly language. Church, I want to just come right here and tell you this. If any of you are new, the first thing is that you receive Jesus as your Savior by confessing Him as Lord and accepting Him as Lord and confessing that God raised Him from the dead. If you believe that and confess that, there's a light that comes on in your spirit. Amen. And you'll start understanding some things. But then the next level, there are levels. The next thing is you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is when you worship God and you yield to God so much that you yield your tongue, which James says is the hardest member to yield.
Oh, wow.
And so when you yield your tongue and you start speaking in your heavenly language, the Holy Spirit baptizes you. And your level of understanding rises up to a different level. I mean, I was saved since I was 9 years old, but I didn't get Holy Spirit baptized until I was 21. And so I knew scripture and a lot of denominational nonsense. But then when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, the Bible was like, oh, wow. Because the Spirit of God I'd yielded to the Spirit, I had more room. Well, when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I know you guys are old hats at this, but if you'll follow me through, I'll just give you your portion at the end. I just need to help everybody watching. When you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you get a prayer language. And the prayer language, I can tell you this, the devil will never help you talk in tongues. You know, so you'll be baptized in the Spirit, your tongue being loosed and yielding to the Spirit, you're going to start talking like a little baby in another language. Mm-hmm. And when you start talking, you might have one sentence. I just had one sentence. But the more I prayed that one sentence, after a while, I started catching another one and another one and another one and another one and another one. And I began to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says, what we've just read to you, is that prayer language is the ladle that dips down into the well of your spirit and prays the mysteries that the devil cannot understand, which makes it a stealth language for him and for your flesh. Because then your chokeholds, he's passing them. And then you're going to catch up with that because you're going to get an interpretation sooner or later and things are going to manifest. What I'm trying to tell you is the way to pray the mysteries is pray them in your prayer language.
Right.
Pray them in your prayer language.
Yep.
And when you begin to do that, it's stealth. Right. You're flying under the radar.
Right.
And you could say, okay, so I'll tell you, I don't know in my flesh where our land is that we're going to build on. Okay? I don't know where it is. But this is what God does.
Yep. Yeah.
So this is what I can do. Father, in the name of Jesus, I am going to pray right now in the Spirit about our land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I just start praying and praying and just pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. By the way, this is not praying in the Spirit. It's a language. When I talk to you, I don't go, hello, Larry, what are you doing? How's your truck running? You say, hey, how's your truck running? God has inflections. Slow down and just pray. And then say, by faith, I believe I receive what I just prayed. And when you do that, God will begin to launch something. The manifestation and the interpretation is going to come. God made a way so that the enemy would be blocked out and your chokehold would be blocked out to get you to new places. You receive that? That's what I'm trying to tell you. Now, when I said pray in tongues, Somebody had a chokehold right then. I can't do it. I don't know. Yes, you can. Just pray your one sentence. Let me see if I can remember my one sentence. Simbliando bakindo kalamosoto unganda bashinda. That's all I could say. That was my first tongue I ever spoke. I was thrilled. I was 21. But that's all I could say. And then, and I didn't like it. I was thrilled I had it, but I don't really like those words. God gave me a different one. He gave me and so I started praying it. And now I can pray. And when you start praying from in, see, you have to drop down in your spirit.
Yeah.
Don't get nervous about this, church. You drop down into your spirit. And the Holy Spirit will begin to bring things out that it's above your comprehension. It's above your thinking. And when you start praying like that, you will get into exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Well, I don't know. I'm just too embarrassed to do that. Well, get in the truck and do it by yourself. Kenneth said, Lord, I don't know what I'm saying and I don't know what this is, but I'm going to try it. So he got in the car and was driving down the road and blah, 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 here it all came. It just all came. You can do it. And you'll begin to say different words. I know you've heard people around here pray, and probably Jesse the most. She's usually the one ministering at that time in the spirit right there. And maybe Danny. And you hear people praying in their language, praying in their language. If you come to the 9:40 meeting, everyone's praying in the spirit. Okay. What are we doing? We're praying stealth.
Mm-hmm.
We're praying underneath so that the mysteries can come out. Isn't this beautiful what God has given us? Religion has just torn this thing up. Pride has just torn it up. Don't go over that church. They're talking in a tongue. On the day of Pentecost, they all spoke languages. When I first started in the ministry, we had this big house and we were preaching in there, and a little sweet Baptist missionary would come every week. And, Gwen. And, she was raised, and so she was like, I don't know about that stuff. So one day I just got caught up and I was just praying. And I'll talk about meetings and not meetings and stuff like that in just a moment. I was just praying. And afterwards she walks up to me and says, you've been speaking perfect Portuguese. Yeah. And it was all things that glorified God that I was saying. And she could hear that. She had been out on the mission field. So don't be concerned about your language. Just let it come out and pray and be comfortable with what you have. And God will increase that language like he did your baby child. Your baby child either said mama or dada first. Mm-hmm. Or Deb's kid said, hey, dude, first. But now, some people will say, well, you're supposed to be praying to God. You shouldn't be doing that in the meeting to people. I'm not praying to you. I'm lifting that up to the Lord. We have a time of prayer and we do that. If you're going to go into the meet, you need to hear what I'm saying tonight. Because you're going to remain behind the chokehold if you don't start using some stealth. Now, there's a lot of times you'll either get an interpretation. There's a lot of times you'll pray. Don't be afraid of this, where you're praying along in the spirit and English words start coming out.
Yeah.
And then usually when that happens, I'll say, oh, Lord, Holy Ghost assistance here, please. Holy Ghost assistance. And things will start coming out. Things will start coming out. But you pray that, and then things are happening. Remember this, all words change atmospheres. All words change situations. Like me, God created everything with words. You're creating with these words. You don't know what you're saying because it's helping you. And if he needs you to know, he'll tell you. The Spirit is praying. The Spirit's saying it for you. on the day of Pentecost, they needed a lot of languages. And I'm telling you, it's the most freeing thing to be able to do that in any situation.
Yes.
All pride, all embarrassment needs to leave.
Right.
And don't be all religious about it. We laugh about it. We were raised with some Pentecostals, and they had the funniest things they would say. They'd say, jokes like, yeah, they brought a snake into the church. So we said, Sycamore Si, pass me on by, you know. We'd make light of things, or we'd say Motorola, Scandia, Toyota, just teasing around. I mean, don't get so religious about it all. Just, you know, be honorable, but don't be so uptight about it. You can just flow in that anytime you want to. If you're not comfortable in front of people, get in the car and do it with God. Or when you're praying with us and you're like, I don't know, my language doesn't sound like anybody's, then just pray quietly. And if you just say yabba dabba doo 15 times, okay. I don't really mean that, but you know what I mean. Just get comfortable with it, because that language is going to push you past your chokehold. Do y'all receive this tonight? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God, you are so good. Thank you, Lord. Here's the secret. You release your faith for the physical manifestation of what you've been praying for. So you're going to say, remember, you're going to do this. Lord, I'm going to pray about this. Pray about it and then say, Lord, I believe I received what I just prayed.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is a secret that people don't. We have actually dug a secret out of the Word of God. By looking at this. So, as you pray the mysteries, God will reveal to you the simple steps to take that you need to take. All of a sudden, you'll know what to do. You'll go, you know what? I know what to do. We did that today. We were like, me, Art, Amanda, John, and Jeff. So we're getting water for Amanda's house. So we bought a trailer today. We bought containers today. We filled them with water today. We go over and we're going, well, how are we going to get it into that black tank? We can get it into this tank, but how are we going to get it into the black tank? Because this doesn't have, you know, there's no hose hookup or anything. It just shoots out, you know. Well, we got it into the well good because we just stuck a piece of PVC pipe on there and it went in there. And so we were all good with that and everything. And then we said, leave it. We'll work on it tomorrow. So I went home and I said, Lord, you know, you know. So I just prayed about it a little bit. In a minute, I sent everybody a text. John does a check like, that's right. Amanda goes, yeah. Jeff goes, okay. It's real simple. Put the water in the well. The house lines are filled up. Put a hose on a faucet. Put the hot faucet in the tank. Turn the faucet on. Fill up the black tank by putting the water in the hole and taking it through the faucet. That's not hard. But here we were, we're going, man, we need to get some PVC and build a home, and then all we got to do is turn it around. We were just laughing about it. But sometimes you just know the word. Maybe sometimes you just need to know how to open a door. And you can open the door by just praying in the Spirit for a minute. Okay, Lord. Okay, I've got it. So remember when the plane door wouldn't open? And they said, we're going to have to drill a hole in the Citation 10 in the door. And he's like, no, no, just wait. So Lord, how are we going to open this door? So he's praying. And he said this, he said, give me the word to say to that door. And he walks up to the door and the Lord dropped the word after he's praying in the Spirit. He took his ladle. And he got it from the Spirit of God. He didn't think it with his comprehension. This is above what you can think. And he says, say this, door open. We're like, duh. But now listen to me. Listen to this. This is important. That's just what someone would just say. But he didn't bother to just go, door open in the name of Jesus. He got it from the Spirit. It could have been any word. Move or cooperate. That's right. It could have been any word. But God said, say this. He said that. They turned that thing and it came open. Never happened again. Yes, he was using the scripture, all things work. See that? So there was a working word. So we have the working word of the scripture. Remember, we've talked about this recently. You have the working word of the scripture. If you're facing someone, you're going to go face something. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Lord, greater is he. Greater is he. You meditate on that. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is within me. You're meditating on that. So when you get there, the word's working. Well, it's the same thing with praying in your prayer language. But you don't need to know yet. Sorry, I just want to make sure everybody's getting it. Praise the Lord. I know I'm hammering it here. So, see the distinction. Faith is acting on the written word. Faith is acting on the written word. Holy faith is, okay, it's a separate, it's a little bit different. You've got a revelation. You can either study the word, but when you get a, when you get enlightened, okay, let's say for the first time you saw the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow to it. And you were taught what the blessing really means. And you knew that. And then you saw that scripture and you went, hey. And it was enlightened to you. Then you could operate on that with holy faith. Amen. But most holy faith, guess what that is? It's acting on your prayer language. Okay, I'm going to repeat it to you again. Faith is acting out on the written word. Holy faith is acting out on the rhema word. Most holy faith is acting out on tongues. You build your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. And you have to totally rely on God. Most holy faith is praying in tongues. Your faith is working. You're releasing answers. You don't have to comprehend what you're saying yet. But you fully expect that what you're saying has the answer in it. Amen. Now, I know, I just heard this, and I'll stop with this. But someone's saying, well, what if it's the same thing over and over? Then how is he getting that wisdom to me? He is. Yeah. And you won't always have the same thing over and over. Yeah. Most of y'all in here can say more than five sentences in English. Some of you can say many more in Spanish. Some of you can talk Texican. Como se llama your mama. Things like that. Mm-hmm. They loved that in Chicago. They were like, they'd come by. One of the guys would come by, he'd say, I'm fixing to go home, y'all. He's a Midwesterner. I'm fixing to go home, y'all. And we didn't get it. We're like, okay, bye. He'd laugh all the way out of the office like, they didn't even get it that I'm making fun of them. You know, we didn't get it. But I got him one day.
Yeah.
I said, hey, I'm going to teach you. Bill was his name, I think. I said, Bill, this is how Texans talk. How's your mom and them in English and como se llama your mama in Texican? And he loved that. Praise the Lord. What does that have to do with the sermon? Absolutely nothing. I just want to tell you. Holding, this is 1 Timothy 3:9. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. You're holding that place in faith, but it's pure. You're not tainting it with your thoughts. Okay? You're not tainting it with your thoughts. Trust God. Trust God. Trust God. There's about 9 people in here. I'm going to prophesy right now. About 9 people in here, maybe someone online, that you will get in your car, and by the time you get home, you'll have a new prayer language. Praise the Lord. Father, we pray for the internet audience tonight. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We praise you. We give you glory. Father, thank you for all these wonderful gifts that we have. The Word. Praise God for the Word. But thank you for the gift of praying in the Spirit. Thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that it gets us way down the path. We can remove the mountains, bring up the valleys, so that the King of Glory can come in. We thank you for that, Lord. We thank you. We are that voice. We can change this country by praying in the Spirit. We thank you for it, Lord. We bless you.